Hey, everybody. Welcome to the First Press Sermon Podcast. At the end of the podcast, please take a moment to subscribe to this channel or our YouTube channel to stay up to date with our latest Sunday messages. We are so glad to have you joining us, and we are praying that the following message might inspire you to take your next steps toward Jesus.
Amen. Good morning, church. Good to be together. Good to be in the house of the Lord together. Good to worship like that, isn't it? Thank you, Isaac, Victoria, Praise Band. We appreciate them. And sometimes I think, I wonder if our city knows we worship like that down here. Do you know that? Like they know that we worship in two different ways. They know we worship like that, but I don't know if they know that we worship like this, you know? And I encourage you to share that with others, invite people along. We're actually going to have, when Christmas Eve comes around, we're going to have a modern worship expression in here at 6:30. So if you want to be here to worship in this space that has become sacred to you in your walk with Christ, it'll be open on Christmas Eve too. Invite people along and jump in. You know, we're going to have thousands of people. And so jump in and be a host too. Think about hosting others on Christmas Eve. Well, we're finishing our series on the Word of God. So first of all, let me say, I'm very sorry for my face. I don't start a lot of messages that way. But a dermatologist got a hold of me, and this is just preventative, and it'll all be beautiful someday soon. We pray, right? But for now, it's this. It's all for real, man. But it's a good Sunday to read your Bible as the preacher is preaching, so you don't have to look up here at all. And so let's open our Bibles to John chapter 5 as we finish this short series celebrating the Word of God. And as we open to John 5, verse 36, let's open our hearts in prayer. Jesus, thank you for your Word. God, thank you for your Word. Spirit, thank you for coming and opening our hearts and our ears and our minds, because we know we need to hear from you. In your mercy, save us from being a people who see a distant dead letter on a page in the Bible. Make us that people who are your children, saved by your grace, and when we hear your voice, we stand up and run to you in love and in joy. Jesus, meet us in your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, John 5, 36 to 47. Jesus speaking. I have testimony weightier than that of John. For the works that the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I'm doing, testify that the Father has sent me. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice, nor seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. You study the scriptures diligently, because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, yet you refuse to come to me and have life. I do not accept glory from human beings, but I know you. I know that you do not have the love of God in your hearts. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not accept me. But if someone else comes in his own name, you'll accept him. How can you believe, since you accept glory from one another, but do not seek the glory that comes from the only God? But do not think I will accuse you before the Father. Your accuser is Moses, on whom your hopes are set. If you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But since you do not believe what he wrote, how are you going to believe what I say? This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God. The word made flesh. Is it too early for Christmas?
No.
What do you think? Yeah, it's like, no. Never too early?
No.
Okay. Yeah, you're supposed to have Thanksgiving first, right? Yeah. And then Christmas, you know? But we've jumped the gun a little bit. Christmas came early. We've already got our Christmas decorations up. We actually had a great time as a staff and elders and deacons getting all the Christmas decorations up in the church. Christmas came early this year. John 1, 14 in the same gospel says, "The word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth." You know what that is? That's a Christmas story. That's a Christmas story. That's actually the Christmas story, that the Word of God became flesh and dwelled among us. What does that mean? God is the Holy Trinity, one God, Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Son, the second person of the Trinity, is also called the Word of God. Jesus is God's self-expression. Jesus is God revealing himself to us. That's why Jesus, in Hebrews, it says that Jesus is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus is God's character. Jesus is what God is telling us about himself. Jesus is who God is. All that the Word of God has, all that God has revealed of himself, all that is revealed by the Holy Spirit's inspiration of the written Word of God, all that God has done for us, it's all seen in Jesus. It's all seen in Jesus. That's why Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to see the Father, if anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. If you want to know who God is, look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. We celebrate the Holy Scripture. This Bible is a gift. The Word of God is a gift from God to us. But did you know that all that's written in the written Word of God, all of God's self-declaration, all of his showing of himself, all of his character, it is all wrapped up, enfleshed, embodied in the person, Jesus. The Word was made flesh. Jesus shows us all of it, on every page of it. The Old Testament is looking forward to Jesus. The New Testament is looking back to Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God made flesh. The Word made flesh. Jesus is, in a sense, the Bible walking around. That's who Jesus is. Some say, look, I don't follow the Bible, I follow Jesus. I follow Jesus without the Bible. Why? Because the Bible has a lot to say, and I don't agree with all of it. And I know that Jesus, if you just follow Jesus, Jesus is very kind. Jesus is very nice. Jesus would never confront me. Jesus would never say the mean things that I read and hear. He would never confront me and make demands on my use of money. Jesus wouldn't do that to me. Not the Jesus I follow. Jesus would never confront me with my political ideology and cause me to rethink some things or push me to go and make friends with those people over there. Jesus wouldn't do that. That's mean. Jesus would never confront me about the way that I express my love life or how I express my sexuality. No, Jesus wouldn't say those things. So I follow Jesus, not the Bible. In formal theological terms, some people make a distinction between the Word of God written and the Word of God incarnate. And if that distinction is a difference, well, then you're doing the exact opposite of what is said right here in John 1:14. The whole point of John 1:14 is that the Word of God became flesh, that the Word of God is enfleshed in Jesus, that the same Word of God is the same person, Jesus, that if you want to know who God is, what he says, what he believes, what his character is, you look to Jesus. There is no distance between the Word of God written and the Word of God enfleshed in Jesus. The Bible, Jesus is the Bible walking around. Jesus is the Word of God that you can see, you can touch, you can sense his presence. He's active, embodied, and fleshed. All that God has said of himself, his Word, is made flesh in the person Jesus of Nazareth. The Word made flesh. Jesus, in this passage that we're studying, he was in a fight. What about? Well, you go up to the top of chapter 5, you realize he'd healed a paralyzed man. And when he healed this paralyzed man, he told him, why don't you take up your mat and walk home? Well, that's good, but it was the Sabbath, and you're not supposed to work on the Sabbath, but he did it. But that's not the worst of it. He also forgave his sins, and only God can do that. So the people came up to Jesus, like, who do you think you are, God or something? Verse 18, for this reason, they tried all the more to kill him. Not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he was even calling God his own Father, making himself equal with God. When people are trying to kill you, that's an indication that there's a disagreement, right? some conflict resolution might be. So that's the opponents. And who were these? Were Bible experts. These were scholars. These were leaders, religious leaders. And for all of their study, Jesus said, for all of your study, you missed it. Verse 37. And the Father who sent me has testified himself concerning me. God the Father already told you that I was going to come. He's testified about me. You've never heard his voice. You've not seen his form, nor does his word dwell in you, for you do not believe the one he sent. Jesus is saying, look, God, the Father's already declared that I'm coming. Where? Well, in the law and then the prophets and the Old Testament. I'm on all these pages of scripture. And God spoke when I was baptized. God spoke from heaven. Here's my son with him. And you didn't hear that voice. And here I am, Jesus. I am God and standing in front of you. And you can't see it. You can't hear God. You don't know his form. You don't have the ears to hear. You don't have the eyes to see. It's possible to hold the word of God at arm's length, to hold it at a distance. And doing that, even to study it, to extract what you'd like from it, to leave other things behind, but you can even become an expert in it, an expert of the words on the page and everything that's in there. You can become an expert in it and not allow it to come near to you and shape you and come into your heart and form you. Your relationship with the word of God can be like those in 2 Timothy 3 who are always learning but never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. And because you're not allowing it in, because you're not taking it into your heart, you can't hear God's voice. Jesus says the word of God is not dwelling in them. It isn't in you. Why? Because you do not believe, he says. And what's worse is that the word is dead to you, it's meaningless to you, it's frivolous to you, it's irrelevant to you. Why? Because you don't put your faith in Jesus. And when you don't believe in him, when you don't put your faith in him, when you don't allow the word near to you, well, then you can't tell God's form, you can't hear his voice, you can't feel his presence, you can't feel his love. You look at Jesus, and you see just another man. Why did they study the scriptures then? Well, the old word that we used to use for this is legalism. They were using the scriptures to justify themselves. See, from the time that we become self-conscious, we want to justify ourselves. We want to make some justification for our being here. We want to prove our worth and our worthiness of being loved and sought after and rewarded and we do this in all kinds of different ways. We try to prove our worth in all kinds of ways. We can do it through money. We can do it through fame. We can do it through influence, through power. We can do it through trying to become a famous YouTuber. Is there anybody who's a famous YouTuber in the room? We'd all like to know. Yeah. There's all kinds of ways, right, that people are trying to do that. But you know what? You can also try to justify yourself, prove your worth through religion. Verse 39, Jesus says, you study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. You can attain eternal life. You can possess eternal life. But they don't humble themselves under the word. They use the word as kind of an instrument. They learn enough of it to be right, to be more right than the people around them. You know, the Bible can be used as a cudgel. The Bible can be used as a mallet, just to whack people with, to make them feel terrible, to make yourself feel superior. Sometimes people use the Bible that way. Some people can use the Bible as sort of like a ladder. If I learn the things, I do the steps, I can build this ladder up to heaven, like an ancient ziggurat in an old city of trying to find your way up into the divine places. You can use the Bible as a cudgel. You can use it as a ladder. It was not meant for either one. The Bible is a place to meet Jesus, a place to meet your Savior. They were studying for the wrong reasons, to justify themselves, and Jesus said they missed the point. I was some years back for a very short time an instructor in preaching at Oxford University. And this guy came along, John Money, who was a rugby player, and he was training to become a vicar. And so he prepared a sermon on Psalm 24, and I was gonna watch him preach a sermon. We were gonna talk about it afterward. And Psalm 24, if you don't know Psalm 24, it's all about how who can ascend the holy hill. It starts at who can go up to the hill of the Lord. Only the one with clean hands and a pure heart can ascend the hill of the Lord. And so John, you know, he jumped on that. He was preaching his guts out. He was preaching hard to this church. So you got to have clean hands. What have you been doing? You've got to have clean, and you've got to have a pure heart. Where's your heart? Where's your what's your heart inclined? You got to have clean hands. You got to have a pure heart because God is expecting you on that holy hill. God wants you on that holy hill. So you've got to clean your hands, purify your heart. You've got to get on it. Buckle down. Let's go. It was a fantastic kind of a rugby coach kind of a sermon. You know? Jump in. Well, Psalm 24, if you know it, it takes a turn. It goes on. And it starts to ask these questions. It says, open the ancient gates. Throw open the ancient doors that the King of Glory may come in. Then it asks, who is this King of Glory? Here's verse 9. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors, that the King of Glory may come in. Who is this King of Glory? Who is he, the King of Glory? The Lord Almighty is the King of Glory. Well, John never made it that far in his sermon. He just said, you got to have clean hands and a pure heart. So I sat down with him after that, and I asked him, I said, John, how do we get into heaven? Do we clean our own hands, and then we get into heaven? He said, no, Jesus has to clean our hands. Yeah. I said, John, who is the King of Glory? His face went sheet white. All the blood rushed out of his head. He looked at me with his eyes as big as, you know, like dinner plates. He said, Jesus. I forgot Jesus. I said, John, when it comes to preaching, you're never done until you get to Jesus. Even if you're preaching a psalm, amen? We can't ascend the holy hill of God. We can't purify our own hearts or keep our motives pure. We can't keep our hands clean. We can't wash our own hands. No matter how hard we'll try, we'll wind up walking up and down the halls of madness like Lady Macbeth, outspot. Get this off my hands, this blood off. I can't get this blood off my hands. The things that I've done, I can't purify myself. We cannot ascend the holy hill to God. No matter how hard you try, no matter how hard you work, to prove your worth, your righteousness, to justify yourself, you will not even make the beginning steps of ascending the hill of holiness of our Lord. But do you know what can happen? He can come down. And he did. In Jesus, the Word made flesh. This is our verse this week. Would you read this together? Try to commit this to memory. Let's read it together. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me. The Bible is not a place to build your holy ladder up to heaven. The Bible is not a place to find information about how you may or may not be superior to those around you. The Bible is a place to meet Jesus. It's a place to meet Jesus, and his face comes through on every page, and every page attests to him. John Calvin, he wrote, he, Jesus, is Isaac, the beloved son of the Father who was offered as a sacrifice, but nevertheless did not succumb to the power of death. See, there's Jesus in that story. He is Jacob, Jesus is Jacob, the watchful shepherd who has such great care for the sheep which he guards. He is the good and compassionate brother Joseph, who in his glory was not ashamed to acknowledge his brothers, however lowly and abject their condition. He is the great sacrificer and bishop Melchizedek, who offered an eternal sacrifice once for all. He is the sovereign lawgiver Moses, writing his law on the tables of our hearts by his Spirit. He is the faithful captain and guide Joshua to lead us to the promised land. He is the victorious and noble King David, bringing by his hand all rebellious powers to subjection. He is the magnificent and triumphant King Solomon, governing his kingdom in peace and prosperity. He is the strong and powerful Samson, who by his death has overwhelmed all his enemies. This is what we should, in short, seek in the whole of Scripture, truly to know Jesus Christ. He's on every page. And the infinite riches that are comprised in him and are offered to us by him from God the Father. John Calvin continues, if one were to sift thoroughly the law and the prophets, he would not find a single word which would not draw and bring us to him. Jesus is the Word made flesh, and every page of the Word of God written points to him. What is the Bible to you? What is this book to you? Is it kind of a distant book of ancient thoughts and wisdom, sometimes interesting to study? Is it largely irrelevant in your day-to-day life and you wait just to come to church and have me read something to you? Is it a book that's sitting up on the shelf collecting dust? Or if I ask it this way, when you click the Bible app on your phone, does the app need to reload? You know what I'm talking about? That means it's been a little too long. You know that. That's the modern analog of dust on the Bible. What is this book to you? This is God speaking. This is the Word of God written. This is God showing you who he is, telling you his heart, showing you his character. This is God telling you what he has done for you, what he intends for you, how he feels about you. This is God's love letter to you. Take it up. A bishop years ago named Ignatius of Antioch was being carted off to the Colosseum to be killed in front of the animals in 110 AD. And along the way, he wrote letters to his friends and the churches that he knew. And one of those churches, he wrote this. He said, there is one God who manifested himself through Jesus Christ, his Son, who is his Word, that came forth from silence, who was pleasing in every way to the one who sent him. That's Jesus, the Word from silence. Unless God speaks his word, we sit in silence. Unless God sheds his light, we sit in darkness. But God has spoken his word. God has shed his light in Jesus, his Son. Last week, Pastor Ellen talked about how the Word is a light to the cosmos, but it's a light to our path. And I love how she has a heart for the Word of God coming to indigenous people groups in their own language. Abigail and I were in Kenya some years ago, and we came across a huge gathering in a park, and we asked the driver, what's going on there? And he said, they're celebrating. What are they celebrating? He said they're receiving today the Bible in their own language, their native tribal tongue, Kikuyu, and they're overjoyed. Would you like to stop? Yeah. Let's be a part of that, right? There was a lot of political unrest. There were reasons not to gather in large groups in Kenya at the time. We said, oh, no, we'd like to be there. This was them receiving. There are boxes up on the front stage. They're handing out these books, and people are opening them, and there's tears in their eyes, and they're laughing, and they're clapping each other on the back, and they're on their knees praising God. They had had this sort of stilted translation from the 1950s that was close, but that now they were reading it in their own heart, in their own tongue, in their own language. It's like Jesus was in the flesh, in their body, in their people, and he was speaking to them, and they were weeping for joy at the Word of God in their heart. What is this Bible to you? This is God's love letter. You study the scriptures diligently because you think that in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me, says Jesus. Yet you refuse to come to me to have life. You refuse, Jesus says. You use what you know to justify yourself, to establish yourself, to defend yourself, but you refuse to come to me, the one who's revealed in this book as your Savior. You cannot ascend the holy hill of God even with your Bible in your hand. But what can you do? You can open the ancient gates. You can throw open the ancient doors, the most beautiful gates, the most beautiful doors, the doors to your heart, the doors to your eternal soul. Open them to Jesus. The most important question you will answer in the time that you have on this earth is this: what do you say to Jesus? Jesus said to his opponents, this word is dead to you. Why? Because you don't believe the one that was sent. He said, you don't know the love of God. You can't see the form of God. You can't hear the voice of God. Why? Because you don't put your faith in me, his son. What do you say to Jesus? The scriptures say this: today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. Do not harden your hearts against the voice of Jesus. Some of you say, I can't accept the whole Bible. It's too much. Jesus isn't asking you to accept the whole Bible. To take in the whole word of God, that's a lifetime. Friends, that's a lifetime of learning and relearning and unlearning and humbly submitting. It's not what Jesus is asking of you today. What Jesus asks of you today is this: what do you say to Jesus? Today, if you hear my voice, open the gates. Let me come in. And as he comes in, his word floods your life. Open the gates and let me in, says Jesus. Why? Why? So you can have life. Jesus died so that you can have life. Jesus went down to the darkness of death so that you could know the light of forgiveness, the sun of the joy of forgiveness. Jesus was silenced, pinned to the cross, so that you could hear the word of God. Open the gates. I want to invite you to pray with me as we close this series, to pray along with me, and maybe for you, this is an opportunity not to think about God or to hear someone else praying about God. This is a chance for you to pray, to speak to God. So I invite you to bow your heads, close your eyes, follow along with me in prayer. Lord Jesus Christ, you are the word I long to hear. You bring life. Open my ears that I might hear. Open my mind that I might believe. Open my heart that the King of Glory may come in. For life and life eternal. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Let's sing.
Once again, thanks for listening. To plan your visit, head to our website, firstpresscos.org. That's firstpresscos.org.